All right, Lagos, Nigeria, welcome, welcome, welcome one, welcome all. This is Game On right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. It is 9 minutes down 7 p.m. on this a very, very lovely day, the 21st of February in the year 2023. And February slowly, surely coming to an end. And before you know it, we'll get through with the elections, or get through to the elections, get done with it, and then we will be in the month of March. Welcome once again to the broadcast. I am Samuel Victor Ackman, bidding you warm welcome to you listening in Nigeria, in Lagos, and beyond. Always, always a pleasure to have you on Game On with Femi and the gang. So many things we're going to be discussing today on the broadcast, and worthy of mention is the fact that the Champions League is back today. Yes, Europe's biggest club competition for football, anyway, returns tonight. And there's a mouth-watering games for many, not for me in particular, because I'm sick. I'm sick to the stomach of a Liverpool v Real Madrid game. I can't stand it anymore. I really can't stand it. I mean, if you ask me to go to Anfield or the Santiago Bernabeu to watch that fixture, I'm not even going to take it. I am sick to the stomach of Liverpool taking on Real Madrid. Indeed, in any competition, be it a friendly match, be it the Champions League, the Europa League, or anything. I just don't want to see those two play football anymore. Not anymore, but against each other. But that's just me. Who cares what Samuel Victor Ackman thinks? But anyway, guys, let's get right into the mix of things. And the other gentlemen are here, and they were looking at me like, what sort of nonsense is this gentleman spewing on national radio, saying he doesn't want to watch a Liverpool Real Madrid fixture? Indeed. But let me say welcome and good evening to David Okora, who's here on the broadcast. David, I am pretty sure I could bet my bottom naira that you think I'm crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
Oh.
Kevin De Bruyne did say he was sick of playing England, Belgium. He said it sometime. The guy's known for being blunt, unfortunately. He's direct both on the pitch.
So I'm in good company.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a valid
argument.
3 years, not since 2018, they faced each other every year but in the 1920 season. So, yeah, it's... Yeah, there's good grounds for
you.
Oh,
that's a feather on my hat. Getting a compliment from David, it's like looking for Naira these days. It's really, really hard to get a compliment.
No, you're my guy. Listen.
I know, I'm your guy, but that's the harder it becomes. Because you know I'm your guy now. You stingy with the compliment. But anyway, thank you so much.
You don't need compliments to get by. It's not like it's Naira, so you'll be fine.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Let's also say welcome to the Honorable. He should be somewhere in Surulere today that they were doing doing something. What?
Go find who?
Chasing the news.
The disdain.
It's not about disdain.
The absolute disgust.
No, it's chasing not, the it's news. Not, it's actually not that. It's the fact that, I'm sorry, The my reporting days are so far gone.
The absolute trenches.
My reporting days are so far gone, man.
But you know, with these things, some of us, the junior guys in the newsroom, will probably not have that editorial eye that comes from one who's been at the top level of editorial situation.
You know, like speaking. You know, but on the more seriously, before you get to so life is a stage, you know. You don't just go from one to the other just, you know, overnight. You need to go through the process. And before you get to that editorial point of view, you also need to start from the scratch, which is reporting. Reporting actually gives you reporting is like the foundation.
Very rudimentary.
It gives you that. In fact, sometimes in some newsrooms, some very large newsrooms, you know, you actually start by being an all-rounder, you know, so you can go to any event. It could be an event that has to do with education. It could be maritime. It could be agriculture, you know, so that you have a wide scope of all of these areas.
No, Foscolo uses big English. For those of you who don't know, maritime is like water.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who wouldn't know what's maritime?
They don't know.
Okay. All right.
They don't know.
Let me stop assuming. But the point is, you know, you go from there, you know, you do a bit of sub editing and then maybe editor, you know, just
it's good. Look, you are giving us a YouTube tutorial.
the point, the
career
point,
path of
the point is, there's absolutely no way I'll be at the Tesla Balogun Stadium. I'm done with my I'm still a reporter, because once a reporter, always a reporter. Mm. You know, I could literally just go for an event now.
You sent your PA today, haven't you?
Look at that.
Shout out to
you. Actually, anywhere you are, because something is happening wherever you are.
Yeah,
you know, your journalistic whatever just picks up. You're just thinking, oh, what's the next thing?
Last weekend when the Naira scarcity thing was happening, I sent
you a reporting
like, oh, it's starting to happen. And Olamide was like, oh yeah, get me videos. Go. I'm like,
I trained Olamide well.
Made him break my head.
I trained Olamide well. You
he said, if you don't get me videos, don't come to work.
You see, that's the mindset. He's picking up on he already knows how that's a news a breaking somewhere.
I said they shoot gun, he's never gonna go find
it. What are you are a You go wherever and get whatever. But it's good to be here this evening.
Always a pleasure to have you.
I
on the
hope
broadcast.
People are not stuck in traffic. Nah. Usually when these things happen, you know, causes a lot of jams, you know, across the state. I feel for anybody who is you know, in traffic right now as a result of the All Progressives Congress's last campaign rally,
yeah.
You know, that they did right here in Lagos. It's just for a while. Saturday will come and go, and then after that, 2 weeks later, we'll do the governorship election, and then we can all
our lives will be back to normal.
We can all breathe, because man, it's been exhausting.
Probably going to live.
And hopefully by then, Naira is back in circulation a lot.
Hopefully by then it is.
Naturally, it will be. I hope.
Let me not be a pessimist. It will be.
There's no need for that. It will be.
Also say welcome to man. The moment he walked in through the door of the studio, I mean, there was something about the environment.
You get
humanity.
You see perfume.
As in, it just drowned our own perfume put together. On the rug, Chuma Nali is here. Chuma, always a pleasure. We should roll out the red carpet every time you come into the studio.
Bro, if the default FC fan you are playing at the Tesla in Balogun Stadium, you can send me there. I'll report for you, okay? I'm not like some people who are big boys.
Your name, we connect.
Great to be here, man. Good evening.
Always. Guys, remember, the Champions League returns tonight, like I said, and we're going to be previewing all the games. Liverpool v the little matter of Liverpool against Real Madrid, mm-hmm. and the big matter of Frankfurt against Napoli. Victor Osimhen is going to be playing in that one, and that's where our attentions, or my attentions in particular, will be. But before all of that, it's Osimhen.
You don't care about Syria. Why are you caring now?
We still don't care about Syria.
Don't care.
I do love the Syria.
We don't care.
I love my Bournemouth against Everton over Spezia Napoli.
So speak for yourself and don't say we. Say I, Samuel Okonakpa.
All right.
Bournemouth. Club with no surname.
I love my managerless Southampton against Bournemouth. I'll take that 6 p.m. on a Saturday.
EU.
I love that.
Nonsense,
I love that.
Nonsense football.
EU.
And to watch Spezia against Milan at 8:45. I'm not doing that.
It's as if we are begging you to come.
What are we going to be talking about on the show today? We're going to start off on the home front, where it was not the pleasant sight over the weekend, where an official of a club side, just before kickoff, was found peeing on the turf of the pitch they want to play the game on. He was peeing right there, excusing himself right on. Oh, goodness gracious, this Nigerian MPFL. We're going to be talking about that. He's been punished. The club side have equally been punished. But is that enough for the disrespect in all regards to the NPFL and football right here in Nigeria? We're going to be talking about that to kick the show off. Then we're going to be looking at Paris Saint-Germain. Reports say they're about to fire Christophe Galtier, or will be firing Christophe Galtier in the summer, and replacing him with a man they fired before appointing Christophe Galtier. And that's talking about the former Chelsea manager, Thomas Tuchel. We hear he's looking at a possible return to the Parisian side. Will that be the right thing to do? And I'm going to be asking you a question as regards to Thomas Tuchel's last two clubs. Which of them have made the bigger mistake? Is it Chelsea or is it Paris Saint-Germain letting go of the manager? Of course, there's going to be build-up to the Champions League games to go down. We're going to be looking at what Victor Osimhen has in store tonight and how far Napoli could possibly go. Ufama did tell us a couple of weeks ago, was it David, about someone's prediction on social media.
I did.
That Napoli were going to be champions of the Champions League this season. Well, they are in the second round. How close are they? Are they favourites over the likes of Liverpool, Chelsea, PSG at the moment? Are you really thinking that Napoli, I mean, they're going to win Serie A, no doubt, but how close are they to laying their hands on the Champions League trophy for the first time? And of course, we're going to be looking at Chelsea and at the possibility of women, female coaches, coaching in the Premier League, in the La Liga, in the Serie A, in the MPFL, handling the male side in the top flight football, really, because we hear Chelsea's Emma Hayes is being considered for the vacant managerial role at QPR. Do you see that as a possibility, and how much of a success could they have at this top side indeed? Remember, you can be part of the conversation, very importantly, 0700 993 993 993 0146571 90. That's a female only line. Join the conversation on WhatsApp 0809597 5805, and of course on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. This is Game On. We are Femi and the gang. Samuel here, Ufoma here, Chuma here, David here. Let's get really, really right into it. Right, so let's start the conversation on the home front and talk about that story of an official of 3SC, that's Shooting Stars of Ibadan, excusing himself on the pitch of play. We hear the IMC have suspended 3SC, that's a bit of a tongue twister, official. I said 3FC instead of 3SC. Let me just stick with Shooting Stars. In a viral urinating incident, they have gone on to fine the club. We hear in the wake of that photograph of the official urinating publicly on the pitch prior to the match against the matchday 9 fixture against Akwa United, the interim management committee, that's the IMC, has fined the club and suspended the official, who has been identified as Awal Mohammed Davidson Owumi, who is the head of operations of the IMC. In a summary jurisdiction notice sent to 3SC, charged the club for failing to control the conduct of the official, and further admonished the club and the management to take steps to curb an occurrence of such conduct in the future. Now, in two separate charges for breaches of the NPFL framework and rules, the club was cited to breach rules C1 and, of course, rules C9. You don't want to... I mean, I'm just seeing the picture of that. It's quite embarrassing. The statement read, you are in breach of rule C1 in that before the start of the matchday 9 fixture between 3SC and Akwa United, your camp commandant, Awal Mohammed, was spotted urinating on the playing pitch, which is a despicable act that is capable of bringing the game to disrepute. You are in breach of the C9, they went on to say, which is failure to control the conduct of your club officials, which resulted in Awal Mohammed urinating on the pitch of play in the full glare of the public. Now, Shooting have the option to submit to the decision of the IMC or elect to appear before a disciplinary hearing, and any such decision has to be communicated in writing to the IMC within 48 hours of the receipt of this notice. Now, this is big, guys. Let's not get into any more of the stories as released by the IMC, but we have a break in about 2 minutes. Let's just get started. First off, is this punishment the right one for the crime committed? I know it's always easy to say, oh, it's not enough, do more, hammer them even further, but let's be very, very... what's the word? Let's look at things in perspective. Is this punishment actually the right one for the offense committed? I'm going to take the thoughts of the guys in the studio. Then we go on a break and we'll come back to lacerate this properly. Starting off with you, for my yes or no, heavy enough or still light?
To be honest, I'm neither here nor there. I'm more concerned with the fact that it is not just a case of something against football. It's more of a natural thing we do. Mm. We don't have basic etiquette, you know, of decency. We do this naturally. It's not even about football. It's naturally who we are.
It's in
you
our
see
blood.
Grown-ups. I saw somebody do exactly the same thing at the mall just a month ago. Like literally in full glare, Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m.
You even remember the time?
Because I was sitting in my car just in front of him, and the guy literally just bring out in JT, boom, at the mall, 2 p.m. in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon. Please, wow. Let's go on that break.
Before we go on the break, yes.
This guy don't beg.
David, yes or no? Full right enough punishment, or should there be more in about 2 seconds? We have a break.
On one hand, I want to say, yeah, bad conduct.
But on the other hand, you have another opinion.
He's peeing.
Oh, he's peeing. All right, you explain that after the break. This is Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. Well, we certainly are still loving you right here on the broadcast. Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info with Femi and the gang. 7:42 is our studio time, getting set for those big kickoffs in the UEFA Champions League. But all the preview and all the latest in the world of sports in terms of conversations are right here on the broadcast with me, Samuel Victor Akban, with Ufoma Egbamuna, with Chuma Noli, and of course, David Okwara. Together, we're getting you interested in the conversation and all revved up and ready for the football that is to come. Remember, live commentaries on this dial, Tony, the voice, standing by alongside Adeze Michael for all of the commentaries from those big games, indeed, in the UEFA Champions League. But for now, we're talking about the IMC and an incident that happened over the weekend as regards a 3SC official urinating on the pitch of play right in the center circle. Maybe it was anointing the grass or something. You just make of it what you may, really. And he's been punished by the IMC. He was right in full view of everybody present in the stadium at the time. Well, the club, that's 3SC Shooting Stars, have been fined the sum of 500,000 naira for bringing the game to disrepute and failing to control the conduct of their official, while the official himself, Awal Mohammed, has been suspended from all NPFL-related activities for a period of 1 year with immediate effect. Chuma, many a times we would say, I mean, this looks like, some would say this looks like the appropriate punishment. 1 year suspension, go home and rest and, you know, think about what you've done. And for the club, 500,000 naira fine. But when you look at the other incidences that have happened in the NPFL, more serious incidences, crowd violence, beating up the referee, teams are banished, are sent to a visiting team stadium for 3-4 matches. They are punished with 1 million naira fine. I mean, you're looking at this and you're saying maybe a lot more could have been done. Maybe this is the time where we set a statement or set a standard for the NPFL. If we're going to run this successfully, then these are the sort of situations or incidences where we really need to stamp our foot on the ground as a governing body of the league and do better. Do you think this is appropriate, or do you think maybe more could still be done?
Now, the other things you spoke about, Sam, from violence, from fans who are not happy with the outcome of games in the NPFL to misdemeanors of a player, for example, who takes off his jersey after he scores a goal and gets a yellow card, are things that have had precedence. These are things that have happened in the past. I can bet that this is not the first time an official of a club is getting to urinate on a pitch, but this is the first time I'm seeing it this documented, and of course the letter of the law having to be followed by the football authorities in the country. So for that reason, I'll be like, okay, it's uncharted territory for them. It's a place they haven't found themselves in on a regular basis now. That's the NPFL. So if you decide to sanction him for a year by punishing him and sending him off from football in the country for the next 1 year, and you also say, hey, the club should pay 500,000 naira, let's just say it's the first time. I think that this is so much of a moral issue, like Ufoma said. Yeah, it's a football issue, of course, because it was him urinating on the football pitch, but it's also a moral issue too. It's like, I remember years back when Donald Duke was governor of Cross River State, and at the point he was very stringent with this idea of keeping Calabar, the capital city, clean. And if you were caught eating something in the car and then you throw it out of your window on the road and you're caught by the Kuda officials, then the guys who were in charge of cleaning the city, you'll be sanctioned. So that was like a moral issue, you know. And this is it, as far as I'm concerned, too, from this very perspective. So for that reason, and like I said, because we've not had precedent, it's tough for me to want to bring out examples of the past to say, okay, this should be the yardstick, this should be the amount of years given to these persons. I'm hoping that this will, you know, ensure that the man learns his lessons, and also add like something that will be a deterrent to those who may want to do this in the future. Because, like I was telling you before, off the microphone, it's a crime, first of all, to even urinate by the side of the pitch. It's even worse that he was on the center of the pitch itself, and he didn't kneel down and pretend. I've seen, you know, footballers in the past, not in a stadium's pitch, but a school's pitch where they were training, kneel down quietly and then try and pee secretly. I've seen them do that, you know. But this one, in the middle of the pitch, ahead of a first division game, the number one league division in your country, it's childish, it's crazy, it's stupid, and it's everything. But, you know, let's say it's something that doesn't happen every day. So give him 1 year. And hopefully others learn from it too. I wouldn't say punish him. I wouldn't say take him out of the league forever. I wouldn't say he should pay 1 million, because he may not have money himself to pay.
No, he should have thought of the ramifications of that.
I say hang him out to dry.
but David, as you're about to comment, does it really? I mean, there's a crime, there's a punishment, and it turns out to be
sounding
a deterrent.
Like Dostoevsky.
It turns out to be a deterrent for you, for me. Does this crime and this punishment stop me, you, and others from doing the same? Or something close to it?
If you are looking for clout, maybe it doesn't deter you. I mean, if you are looking for clout, it's like 500K, small money to pay for the altar of fame. But away from that, I don't see any glory in this. It's all kinds of embarrassing.
Yes, but again, don't forget that the 1 year suspension should also mean that Shooting Stars will not have him in their salary books ordinarily for that.
Yeah, because it's
so
costing
that
them money.
That he'll go 12 months without salary, which should hurt him too, you know. Yeah,
but will that really happen?
Yeah, right. Mm. It's not going to happen. It's honestly not going to happen. But away from that, I would like
to... They're not run like businesses.
Exactly, you know. If we had professional clubs, if we had clubs with professional in the real sense of it and not in name, maybe that would have been the case. I would want to look at this from a totally different angle. And part of our job, you know, part of our job here as broadcasters or as media persons is to also educate people. And I think to a large extent, this morality thing that Chuma talked about, I remember when we were growing up, you know, as kids, you are taught at home of certain things you're supposed to do. You have do's and don'ts, you know. And to a large extent, even when you are stubborn to the high heels, you more or less follow these principles.
Sure.
You are taught that when you go out and you meet elderly people, you greet, you know, you say good afternoon or good evening. And even as old as we've become, it hasn't really gone off. Yeah. But you sometimes wonder the kind of trainings the people growing up actually have. Sometimes you wonder if some of these little things, civic education, you know, that are taught in schools, basic things you're supposed to know. There's a restroom, there's a toilet, if you want to call it that way. You go there and ease yourself, you know, and not do that in, like we say in local parlance, public of Igwe Madu. It's really embarrassing that adults are still doing that. And like I told you, when this whole story came up, that's the image that came to my head. Like in public glare, a grown up, that guy should be in his 20s, like really proper grown up. 2 p.m. in the afternoon, front of the mall, where there were women passing, there were little kids passing, and man just, you know, goes off with his trousers and he's peeing right in front of everyone. I think to a large extent, we need to, from schools to churches, you know, we need to do more in terms of educating people on these do's and don'ts, so that we don't get this kind of embarrassing situation where, you know, that's the picture that the whole world is
seeing right now.
About this is Nigeria, it's your football league.
You know, I would love to talk about success stories. You know, I know there are very few of them, but there are a couple of success stories, you know, in the Nigeria league, even as much as I've gotten tired of it, you know. But every now and then, some of these very ridiculous things just pop up, and you just shake your head and you wonder, God, are this thing Emeka Nwani they die for? Shout out to my boy Emeka Nwani.
On a lighter note now, really. You know, there's this joke that comedians have played around with in the past, which is when you have those signs, normally don't urinate here, signed by tenants or something. And you see Nigerians, they still go on to urinate there. But if you could put something like urinate here, signed by a native doctor,
would the reverse be the case?
I think there's a sense in which we believe in dysfunction in this country, because I mean, it's when you see the rules, you just want to break it because you think nothing will happen.
Because there's no consequence. You know, we've run a country, and again, I blame the military. I'm sorry, but I blame them. You know, some of the dysfunction we have seen in the country today is as a result of years of militarization. You know, they have caused their own problem. But then again, someone will argue with me and say, well, but we have democracy. We've had democracy since 1999.
I want to understand that logic. How the military...
I was just going to give an example. Yeah, because I attended my university. Our university was inside a Navy compound in Apapa. And all these signs, like Chima mentioned, are there. You don't dare do that in there. When you go outside, you do it. You see people do it, you know. But when they're inside there, they do it.
That's in their own cocoon or their own vicinity.
Yeah.
I'm talking about...
So if you have...
I'm talking ruling the country as a whole.
Well,
I'm talking ruling all the disorderliness and dysfunction you are talking about. It's as a result of the terrible administrations we've had, especially under the military. But anyway, that's a story for another day. Let's not turn game on to the newsroom.
We've got 2 minutes before we go on another break. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Chiming on this conversation, an MPFL official, a 3SC official found in public view to be urinating right on the pitch of play, and he's been fined or punished for 1 year. He's not going to be part of any NPFL related activities, and of course the club side fined 500,000 naira. What's your take on this? Nigerian professional football league. One nation, one game, one goal. Hello, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening, Samuel.
Hi there, good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, everybody in the house.
Welcome.
Yeah, this Friday from Benin. Samuel, this thing that happened now, is good that it's being used to as a scapegoat. Do you know that even along the road, you will enter bus, you will see the driver will just stop. He will just open the door. Behind the door, he will start urinating here. Behind his bus. So it happens everywhere. I think we have to do it now. What are people that will just go and poo beside the road? They will face the road directly. They don't even care. They will just use paper to cover their bubble. They are doing what they are doing.
Mm.
So the government need to do something about it, Samuel. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you, Friday. Hi, good evening to you.
Good evening, Captain America.
Hi, Rita. Good evening to you.
Wow, who is that?
You know how small this guy is that you are calling Captain America.
It's something between me and Rita.
Wow. Rita, I'm jealous.
Tiny man that you are calling Captain
Rita,
America.
Rita, I'm jealous.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. See, Samuel.
Yeah.
I don't understand, though, Nigerians. We are all Nigerians. At least these are... In fact, I don't know basic things that we're supposed to know on a football match day in the field for that matter. If that person is my child, I don't even know what to tell that person to do. And I believe my child cannot even go out
there. This one is a grown man, no?
That's what I'm saying now. Because he has parents, like, coming from a home.
Yeah.
And he's doing that kind of thing. That's what I say. If it is my child, I don't even know what to do to my child.
Right.
So tell my child, see, that 500,000 naira is too small.
It's too small.
If he have maybe in his own mind, he have another thing, a motive of it, of doing it in the pitch, that 500,000 naira is too small. They should do more. If I ban him totally.
All right, Rita, thank you so much for calling. We have to go on a break. We'll be right back, guys. This is Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. All right, welcome back to the broadcast, 8 p.m. studio time, 45 minutes more for the show before Football Frenzy takes over and live Champions League action to go down for you tonight. So let's get right into the other conversations right here on the broadcast. We'll go back to the phone lines in just a bit, but let's talk PSG and the possibility of reappointing former Chelsea manager, former PSG manager as well, Thomas Tuchel, as the manager in the summer. That means there will be a sacking for Christophe Galtier. But all of that is according to reports in France and in Germany. PSG, we hear, are ready to reappoint Thomas Tuchel and will be willing to admit their mistake in sacking him in the first place. Now, we also hear that the French giants have grown frustrated with Christophe Galtier and are prepared to sound out their former boss, who they sacked on Christmas Day in 2020. Certainly not the best of Christmas gifts indeed. Well, on Sunday, PSG were trailing Lille with 15 minutes to play before a dramatic late win thanks to Lionel Messi's last gasp goal. Even still, the sight of a sporting director Luis Campos on the touchline underlined the pressure Galtier is currently under. It follows a 1-0 defeat in the opening Champions League match to Bayern Munich and having been knocked out of the Coupe de France by Marseille a couple of days before that. Now, Tuchel, we hear, may need convincing to join his former side, but will be dealing with Campos instead of a former sporting director, Leonardo, who we remember he famously fell out with. Now, this is big. We hear this continues to make rounds. There's talk about him coming back to Chelsea. There's talk about him, well, that's had cold water poured on it by Todd Boehly yesterday when that statement credited to him was released. But PSG back in the frame for Thomas Tuchel. Now, the question is, why in the world of pheasants and blueberries will he want to go back to Paris Saint-Germain?
It's not well.
Well, that's why Rita is always calling you Captain America. Now I know.
Don't do that on national radio. But seriously, Ofoba, let me start off with you. Why would he want to go back to PSG? And also, I was thinking, who made the bigger mistake? PSG sacking him or Chelsea sacking him?
So, that's really a tough question. First of all, why would he want to go back? Why wouldn't he? He's currently jobless. Isn't he?
Yeah, he can afford to be jobless for 2 years.
At the end of the day, PSG still remains one of the biggest clubs in the world. Maybe not in terms of winning titles, but at least in terms of vast resources.
A glamorous club.
You know, exactly. Who wouldn't want that? You know, but at the end of the day, the question or the other part of it would be... there's a very famous song from 1997 that I never forget because it's a life lesson. Janet Jackson featuring Q-Tip. You know, she famously sang, you don't know what you've got until it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it's life.
Some also say, I learned this new one, that you knew what exactly you had, you just didn't think you'd lose it.
Maybe, you know, that could be another aspect to it. I always like Samuel. He always likes bringing this. he's
cook,
like me.
My lord.
Take, high five.
My lord, can you cook some more? Can you cook?
You know, so he was having a good time at PSG.
Yeah.
Somehow, he just felt like, you know, there was so much disagreements between himself and some of the big guns there, you know, and the owners decided that you know what, time to leave. And just as he leaves and goes to another club, about 6 months later, he gets the one thing that made PSG sign him
in the very first place,
you know. So maybe PSG have looked at, I'm sure, as at the time Chelsea were getting that cup on that night, the PSG owners were asking themselves, did we actually not take a rash decision, you know, at the time? Tuchel is a wonderful manager. Yes, of course, he's had his ups and downs.
Too many downs.
But just know that football is about results. You know, you're as good as your last result. It's not like his results were that bad at PSG, you know, but it wasn't that they were also very, very great. I'm talking in Europe now. And the managers at the owners at the time felt, okay, time to go. 6 months after, he's winning that same trophy at Chelsea. The following season, things are looking, you know, a bit rough, a bit patchy. Results are not coming. New owners coming. They want a new direction. You know, and they decide that, you know, it's time for this. In fact, I've even heard some reports suggesting that, you know, Chelsea are even considering possibly bringing him back. I've seen those reports, you know. I think yesterday, 9 stroke, this morning. All in all, I think he's a decent manager. You would argue that on paper, he probably has more to offer, especially in Europe, than their present manager.
Yeah.
Because that performance at a point, I didn't even realize last week that the game between PSG and Bayern was actually in France. You know, I thought it was in Germany. But I was looking at the stadium, and that stadium didn't look like the Allianz Arena. So that's when I looked up at the TV, you know, the rights.
Yeah,
and I saw that it was actually... I swore, I can't say what I... I'm like, what the... Like, how can you be playing at home in that manner? Yes, I agree. A few injuries here and there. But I thought that they should have done better, especially considering how Bayern themselves haven't been, you know, hitting the heights this season. But all in all, it wouldn't be a bad idea for
to bring him back.
He wouldn't.
Okay. Sam. So yeah, just let me also throw another conversation. Now, I always like to ask for a manager that was sacked and wanted back by various clubs or the same club. What have you learned going back? Now, for Thomas Tuchel, with the PSG experience and the Chelsea experience, it's a case of falling out with the management. Now, what has he learned? What does he need to learn? Whether he accepts the Chelsea job or whether he accepts the PSG job, what does he really need to learn to avoid repeating the same mistake for the third time?
Okay, for starters, he's not going back to Chelsea. Graham Potter has till the end.
Like a third bully.
He's not going back to Chelsea. Now, the management has told people how many times. Till next season, if you start seeing...
You know what they say about the dreaded vote of confidence,
Vote of confidence? These guys
once
have...
say that's when they sack.
Listen, these guys...
Thomas Tuchel was told he wouldn't be fired by Todd Boehly, and then
guy,
he was fired.
This guy is not those guys. This administration is not that time. Listen, these guys have told you he has till next season. Leave on that. Accept your problems till then. Now, as for Tuchel... If he does end up going back to PSG, I think PSG does not need a manager. So in so much as they need a politician, and Ancelotti would probably be the only manager. Well, Ancelotti and Jupp Heynckes,
who knows how to play,
you know, play politics than because listen, PSG won't succeed.
But he was there and he was fired.
Calm down. PSG won't succeed in Europe, not because they don't have the best resources or they don't have the best players and coaches. They always do. At every given time, they have one of the best managers out there. But you see, the problem is there is a dissonance between what different levels of different power levers in the club want. Right now, there is a cognitive dissonance between what, well, Antero Henrique used to be on the job before. Now he is a CEO while Luis Campos handles the sporting aspect things. He's consulting on that end. There is a dissonance between what they want and what the ownership can wake up on any given day and say they want to do. Those guys work on whim. I mean, they were talking about they've lined up like 4 French talent. They want to be the pipeline for French talents. You know, the best French talent should be playing in the best French club, right? They are lining up Randall Colomwani. They are lining up Marcus Thuram, Kefren Thuram, his brother. They are lining up everybody when they have some of the best talents at home. It's like they love new toys. And I suspect that is what they want to use Tuchel for. If he's smart... You know, if he doesn't seem to care about the politics. So I'd rather, you know, he's made a lot of funny decisions in his career. I actually think that Dortmund was a black mark on himself, but he got some good things going for him. I mean, one of the shining lights of that time was Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and, of course, Ousmane Dembele. But he needs to think about it. Can he play the politics? Can you play? There is a certain behemoth in Kylian Mbappe, who virtually, you know, he's the crybaby of the club. Anything he wants. And well, to be fair, he gets the job done most times.
So
Mbappe
you,
is efficient.
So for you, it's good to go back to PSG.
And one more thing, Sam.
Yeah.
He fell out with Mbappe the first time.
Part of the reasons why he left.
Yes, sir. He fell out with Mbappe the first time. I remember in the 2018-19 season, early on, Mbappe had issues because he wasn't starting and he was in a rich vein of form at the time. So he was taking off at one of those games. It was against Lorient and he wasn't happy. It was a running issue for a couple of weeks, but then, like PSG, you know, now rumors will come out that there's problem between so and so player. One of the players, usually Mbappe, will come out and say, "No, there's no problem. There's no problem," and then it will die. But we see, that there is obviously cultural that between both of you.
But we all look and see differently, right?
Well, at least Neymar accepted recently that there were issues. But yeah, it's like your relationship.
Mbappe is the ultimate politician. That guy will never come out and say he's having problem with any. Body.
It looks like Neymar won't be in that club by this summer.
That's what we always say. But his contract is getting extended. That,
Chelsea wants him.
He's refusing to accept the conversation with Chelsea.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go.
Now knowing that Messi might equally be leaving. Yeah, but that's a different conversation indeed.
He wants his bag.
Let's get you
30 million a year.
But let's also talk about Napoli. Chuma, I'm going to come to you on this one. It's another thought again. Kipri are needing a manager at the moment and they are lining up Chelsea's women's team manager, Emma Hayes, as a possible candidate. I mean, she's at the moment equally, I don't know how they do that, their odds thing, 10 to 1, 20 to 4, something, something. She's high up there.
I never know what that means.
No, that's the fractional.
So when the numbers, when you see like 200 to 1, means you are farther off, right?
Yeah, usually.
So when you see like
200
3 to 1,
translates to
like Leicester odds. City's was.
I think 200 to 1 translates, I think 20 odds.
Please,
I think so.
Please, let's
decimal
leave.
Point.
Right, that's the maths class.
We'll do the maths on the numbers game. But Chuma, she's been considered for that job because of the incredible job she's done at Chelsea over a decade long she's been there. Now, the question is, a female women thing, but you know what I'm driving at, a female coach in a men's, football is regarded as a men's game, which is very wrong anyway, but leading a male side in the Premier League, in the Champions League, not for lack of quality, but what are the possible difficulties she might encounter? Yes, players might not really show respect and all of that, but do you think these women, Emma Hayes is one we've mentioned, Serena Wiegmann is another one who's done great for female football, and really, what sort of differences do you think they can encounter having to work with a men's team, especially in this, with football being what it is these days?
Well, again, when that part of life where, you know, there's the deliberate effort to ensure that women are infused into the men's game more.
Rightly so.
Female commentators these days that we have, which is something that we didn't have too much of, more so in the Premier League years ago too. Women, we had, of course, a female official take charge as a referee in the men's game not too long ago at the highest level. So if those are possible, if we could have a female referee handle a man's game or the men's game, I beg your pardon, of course, football is all-encompassing now. In fact, the way the world is going, very soon now, they will say that those TG guys too have to come in to play games and all that. But yeah, you know, looking at it from a male and female perspective this time around, if we could have a female referee take charge of the men's game successfully without issues, if we have had successfully women commentators come into the mix and run the thing and act as presenters for men's games beyond just the Women's World Cup and all that, then this is possible. Now, there's a difference between being a coach and being a player. Now, a female playing in the men's team, that's a challenge now because that one has to do with physicality and all that. But as a coach, as much as you also have to run during training, you don't have to be as physically fit, in quotes, as the footballers themselves should be. And I feel that if we've had Edwin Okon, for example, take charge of River St. Gilles for years and handle the women's national team, we've had Egane Dat and we've had Thierry Fium and all those great persons take charge of women's football, and we didn't have these issues, even when you say the women are peculiar because of the monthly visits, as a friend of mine who loved to call it and all that, and they still have found a way to work and achieve success under male coaches for female football, then why can we not have a female coach take charge of a men's team? I think it's very possible, and honestly, that's what we're getting to in the modern world. Like I said, the only thing I think that will be impossible will be to have a mixed team of male and female playing together.
But
the one that is very
realistic. There was a trial in the Netherlands a couple of years
ago. Yeah, it was a Dutch guy who thought about that. Yeah, I know. But not going to happen.
You'll be surprised at the nonsense some of these guys think about in their heads.
What's the downside? Is there any downside to it? I think it's like having a young manager, for example, who's in his 30s. We saw Andres Villas-Boas as boss of Chelsea at the point, and he was not respected by some of the senior players in Chelsea at that time. That could be a challenge at the early stage. I know there's a bit of a difference between that and maybe you could argue there's a bit of a difference between that and referee, because in the case of referee, the referee is seen as a god on the football pitch. So if the female referee is in charge of a men's game and you go and insult her, that red card will follow you, and the FA will also punish you too. As a manager, some people may have one or two things to talk about amongst themselves as footballers and all of that. But I think that if we could have, like, I'm just going to reiterate that one last time, successfully have a female referee take charge of a men's game, then we're going to have that for the men's game as female coaches in the future.
Sam, I think it would be a breakthrough if it happens. You know, you mentioned a word, you said deliberate. And that's exactly, you know, what has, it's the message of inclusion. Inclusion in almost all spheres of life. Yeah. You have to be deliberate about these things, you know, for it to come through. You have to be deliberate about focusing on youths, focusing on women, or focusing on people with disabilities in, you know, all spheres of life. And for me, like Chuma said, the one challenge could be, whether you like it or not, there are still some people who believe that football is a man's game, and they always have these issues with why are women actually. So it's, you can't change those kind of people's mentality. It's just how they are, because maybe that's how they grew up seeing it. Because up until recently, women were really not playing football. Okay, maybe not recently, but at least up until 30 years ago or thereabout, we didn't have that many women playing football. But if Hayes, you know, becomes the QPR manager, I think it would be a breakthrough. She will be like the forerunner, the John the Baptist, so to speak, you know, for
and others to come.
Exactly. If she even goes on to become successful, because come to think of it, there's nothing stopping a woman from coaching a man's team. If you've got the brains, if you've got the tactics, if you've got the managerial skill, then you can as well do it. Question would be, do the QPR management themselves, do they want to do it? I think QPR has been, you know, famous for having all of these issues, innovative stuff. So it would be great for the game, and it would be like, you know, a forerunner to other women to say, hey, if Hayes can actually pull it off at QPR, why can't we
but
also
here's,
do it?
Here's a perspective. Yesterday I was going through social media, and some of my favorite female sports personalities, Kirsty Gallacher for one, who used to work with Sky Sports, and Natalie Sawyer, who is now a commentator for Premier League football. She screenshotted a message. She was running commentaries on a game. A man went like full throttle on her with, you know, racist chants and all of those things that you're a female, you're not supposed to be doing this.
You can't stop
because
it.
Of her perspective. Now we are in this is our reality. Shouldn't we be protecting these women, not for because they are not strong and all that, but including them, throwing them to the deep end.
So at the end of the day, by not including them, you are actually encouraging those people with those kind of mentality. See, you have to take it head on. Everybody is not going to buy it. That's the truth. I remember in 1994 when I think it was 94, was it 93, when the back pass rule was changed. You know, formerly before, if you take a back pass to your goalkeeper, the goalkeeper can hold the ball with his hands. It was changed, I think, in 93. If my memory serves me right, I had to do it in a Nigerian game. You know, Nigeria and South Africa, I think, qualifiers for the World Cup. Something happened, you know, and the rule was changed. It took a while, you know, for some of us to get used to it. But here am I, 30 years after. If a keeper handles a back pass, you already know that that's a foul, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's if it's an intentional back pass. So, at the first instance, it will take getting used to.
Yeah.
But hey, it's innovation. You will get used to it. That's just the thing.
All right. So what do you make of the conversation? Let me play something. So in case you don't know who Emma is, she can be very volatile. And this is her addressing the Chelsea women after a loss in a WSL game.
Some of you ain't been good enough. We expect more. You should expect more. So many of you were felt like deja vu from last year. This is a business. Is the consequence that clear in your mind? If it isn't, you need to become clear. This is Chelsea. We demand a lot from this environment. We will give you everything. You put it in. I have to say to you, get better or I'll get someone else in. Wake up. Wake up. It's not permanent. Wake up. Okay?
All right, that's the voice of Emma Hayes, like I said, addressing the Chelsea women. She did go on to say,
"I don't set the tone, then I might as well be at another club.
If I don't set the tone, then I might as well be at another club because I'm the leader of this group." 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. We've got about 5 minutes, then we go on a break. When we come back, it's all things Champions League football. We've talked about the IMC on the local front, an official being fined for urinating on the pitch of play. We've talked about PSG possibly reappointing the former Chelsea manager, their former manager, Thomas Tuchel. And now we're talking women, a female manager coaching in coaching a men's side. What do you make of the conversation? Let's talk in a bit. I'll also take your thoughts on WhatsApp. But when you're calling, guys, you're down. You have about 30 seconds to air your thoughts so we can take as many calls as possible. Good evening to you. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, good evening to you. What's your name?
Hello, good evening.
What's your name?
My name is Chiaga.
All right, Chiaga, talk to me very quickly.
I'm talking about concerning about this Chelsea coach.
Go on.
Chelsea coach.
I'm listening, go on.
Okay, they said they will not sack that coach to ending of season.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Graham Potter. We're talking about the Chelsea female manager at the moment.
All right.
All right.
I don't know if I have my job.
All right, keep listening. You tag along. Hi, good evening to you. Hello?
Hi, good evening.
Hi, good evening to you.
Okay, yeah, I think it's a very beautiful...
What's your name? What's your name?
She Charente. Just assumes we know.
All right, Charente, talk to me very quickly. You've got 30 seconds.
Okay, yeah. I think it's beautiful for women coaches to take the men team as well.
Okay.
It should not be maybe the women to women, the men to men, and all of that. Even men also coach the women. So why shouldn't the women do it if they can?
Okay.
So that's what I think. And I think, yeah, so that's my opinion.
Are you just saying that because you're a female? All right,
I should have left your hat again.
Hi, good evening to you. Hello?
Hello? Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening. What's your name? You've got 30 seconds.
My name is Pius.
All right, talk to me, Pius. 25.
Yeah. Concerning Emma Hayes, it's a good thing if he has the ability to coach a man's team. Because I kind of love him the way he handles the Chelsea
her?
Women team. Yes.
You want her to coach the men's team?
It's good. It's good. Because with the statement and the interview you relay now.
Yeah.
If you hear her,
she has fire in her belly.
She's very serious about her work.
Yeah.
And she doesn't take nonsense.
Oh, she doesn't.
So that the first time a woman will handle a man's team like that is going to be of a different thing.
Okay.
So if she has the ability to do it, it's good. It's good for her.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you indeed. We're running out of time. Let's take one final call before the break. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening to you.
Sam, this is Rita.
All right. Talk to me, Rita.
Yes. For the female coach, Sam, I'm in support of it too.
Okay.
In fact, if this will start, for Nigeria, we need a female coach. You see that coach from South Africa?
Yeah.
Eh?
Elise Desiree.
That's what we need to. Seriously, that will come and coach Nigerian team.
Okay, how about, Rita, how about the possibility of Emma Hayes coaching Arsenal Football Club? You okay with that?
It's also fine.
It's fine, right? Replacing Mikel Arteta, it's good, okay?
No problem. If the female, in fact, Mikel Arteta, of course, if we have a good female coach, if Mikel Arteta is out there that Asma doesn't want him again, I will support it.
All right. Okay, then. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you indeed. But overall, there's nothing wrong with it.
But it's Chelsea that needs a manager.
No, I'm just saying. We could
Is it not Chelsea that needs a new manager?
She could come in Ghana experience and then go on to, you know, help us.
We ain't having managerial issues, problem. Right. Y'all are the ones that have managers. You can as well transfer Hayes from the women.
What's good for the goose is good for Uganda, not the Ghana now. Because now they push the propaganda. Now you go your side. Don't ask for something else.
I'm just being magnanimous.
Now in club, needs coach. But now me, he won't push and go. Me, we're the top of the table.
Yeah, well,
he invited.
tenth position.
Anyway, guys,
you are enjoying, you know.
Before I have suffered. Let me enjoy.
See this enjoyment. Tables will turn. Ufoma, Lagos, Nigeria. I was home yesterday. Ufoma called me right before the.
Why are you crying?
At after six, and reminded me that Todd Boehly has insisted that Graham Potter stays on. I mean, in the midst of a Naira, I was looking for Naira to come to work today, and Ufoma was telling me about
you. It was breaking news.
I'm like, oh, goodness. Ah, Graham Potter.
You do this one.
Yeah, you do this one indeed. Actually, it is. I mean, I don't blame the Arsenal fans for all of the.
Y'all have done that to us for years.
I only blame Graham Potter and Nottingham Forest. If they had
the thing about Chelsea is they never suffer for long, but they always make noise.
We're not used to
and groan. Oh my God! Where will this end?
It's not something we're used to.
Nobody cares. Enjoy your little this thing and suffer in silence. Who cares? You people. What is a little? That's a little.
All right. What's
discomfort.
Not so little is a message from Cubana Whiskey, indeed, and they've got important information that you can use. It's all about it's the month of February, really, yeah. As it slowly comes to an end. But love still is in the air. And Cubana Whiskey is ready for it. So wherever there is a connection, whether it's between two people who have spent decades together or just a couple getting to know each other and saying hello and hi, and you look so lovely and you smell like fresh wine indeed, Cubana Whiskey is always available for you. But I'll tell you all about that after this break. Welcome back, guys. 8:40, a couple of more minutes before the Champions League games kick off, indeed, across the two match centres in Europe. First off, in Liverpool, Anfield in England, and of course, in Frankfurt in Germany, when Napoli and Victor Osimhen paid the home side a visit. And of course, the might of Real Madrid visiting Anfield in a game I totally wouldn't watch. Anyway, I was talking about Cubana Whiskey before the break, and it is very important that I tell you that Cubana Whiskey is made with the finest ingredients and carefully stored in a classic bottle for that confident man or woman, and can be enjoyed wherever, whenever, and however you certainly want it. Now, Cubana Whiskey is absolutely compatible with other mixes, and this means you can enjoy it straight or mixed. It is your taste, and it certainly is your choice. And here is certainly the interesting part you want to know. As you celebrate the love this season, you might want to take a photo or make a video of you and your family or your friends enjoying a bottle of Cubana Whiskey ahead of a Champions League game, you know, or just chilling at home, really. Now, when you take that photo, post it on Instagram and join Love in a Bottle. That's hashtag Love in a Bottle Challenge on Instagram, and you could win for yourself some cool cash as prize indeed. Now check Cubana Whiskey on Instagram for more details. The handle is at Cubana Whiskey, at KubanaWhiskey. That's Cubana Whiskey. I take that again. KubanaWhiskey at Cubana Whiskey for more details. Now, remember, Cubana Whiskey is registered with NAFDEC and available at all ShopRite outlets at Adasmart, Spa, and Just Right outlets. Also available in the market at Niger 1 / Niger 3 Trade Fair Complex in Lagos, at Ojoye Market in Mushi Ofin Lane, as well in Idumota and all other markets where good drinks are certainly sold in Nigeria. So you want to follow Cubana Whiskey on all social media platforms, again at Cubana Whiskey, at KubanaWhiskey. Cubana Whiskey is for everybody, but just two groups of people are not allowed to take Cubana Whiskey, and those are pregnant women. And for all of you who are under the age of 18, stay away from Cubana Whiskey. And of course, you want to drink responsibly indeed when you do have for yourself a drink. Now, I'm going to be asking a question and giving out a carton of Cubana Whiskey on the show today. Chuma will tell us, will read out a question for you, because if I ask you, you go hard. Okay?
Oh yeah, since Napoli are playing this night, how many goals has the team scored?
All right.
So you have Napoli in the Italian
team. You have a few minutes to Google it. First come, first serve. Let me quickly take some of your thoughts. By the way, in the Champions League, I did tell you the games that will go down. Guys, again, Napoli are being touted all of a sudden because of their incredible form in Serie A. But how far is the Serie A from Champions League? How far is reality from current form? Do you really think Napoli can go all the way? They've got a top-class centre-forward. They've got a top-class winger in Kvaratskhelia. They've got a decent manager in Luciano Spalletti. I don't know about their defence. I'm not certain. They've got good wingers as well. Really, who's buying into that notion about Napoli really going all the way to winning the Champions League?
They will win it.
That's a man who loves his city. Yeah.
Well, they will win it. It's not impossible. To be honest, on paper, you would argue that the chances are maybe slim when you put them side by side with the big hitters, you know, who are still in the competition.
Yeah.
But one of Bayern or PSG would leave. One of Real Madrid and Liverpool would leave. Those are, on paper, people you would say would win this competition, even though PSG hasn't won it. But on paper, they're almost favourites every year. So if Napoli get a decent result against Eintracht Frankfurt today, and in 3 weeks' time they return leg, it means they get into the round of...
16.
No, round of eight. The quarterfinals. You know, and when you get to that zone, trust me, anything is possible. I think that this 2000-2003 Champions League season mirrors the 2003-2004 season. You know, when a certain unknown Jose Mourinho took an unfancied Porto side.
It was Espanyol that beat Milan that year.
Yes. No.
4-1 at home, then 4-0 away.
Like maybe personally talking important.
Oh no, hold on. I'm trying to remember.
It was Espanyol.
And then we lost 4-0 away from Aderiazo.
Was it Espanyol or it was Espanyol. Real?
It was Espanyol.
Deportivo La Coruña.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Deportivo. Yes.
Deportivo La Coruña.
It was Deportivo. Yeah, it was Deportivo La Coruña.
Deportivo La Coruña.
I don't forget that squad. They had some
about
very
serious
good
teams that reached the semi-final.
Good. I'm trying to remember.
And sadly, a silly red card that could have not been a red card, you know, was what killed them off in the semis against
Porto. So you're saying we're going to sit here and Napoli are going to win the Champions League?
What is there?
And the Serie A? After we spend 537 billion,
it's the serious face with which Sasa is.
I don't understand. Is your name written on the trophy?
I'm just saying. No. On a more serious note, I think this season mirrors that season. You know, when the big hitters kick themselves out. You know, and then I still say this, and it hurts me every time I think about that season, because it was Arsenal's best chance of winning. In fact, at a point, I felt Arsenal were the favourites for the title, because Arsenal were red hot at that point in time. A team that they had beaten black and blue,
who
home and away. Chelsea! Arsenal literally had Chelsea on a chokehold. Arsenal were winning home and away.
Then Chelsea lost to Monaco.
Yeah, exactly. It just felt like the universe conspired, you know, to... And these things happen. Remember, it was the same year that Greece won the
Euros.
Euros
in 2004.
You know. But you know what's funny? You know the coach that led Monaco that year?
Didier
Deschamps.
Yes,
he was. That was his first job.
Yeah, Didier Deschamps was the Monaco manager at the time. You know, he was
the guy can actually coach.
He lost 3-0 to surprisingly, yeah. Monaco didn't
it was
turn
a
up.
Smash and grab.
They didn't turn up. You know, in the final. But that heralded, you know, Mario, that we, you know, many no believe today is one of, if not the greatest, club manager.
I beg you.
But that's the story for another day.
The
point I'm trying to make is, the big guns, honestly, are not even hard-hitting, so to speak.
They're not giving, right?
You're not going to look at Real Madrid now and put your money and say, oh, Real Madrid will go on and win it. I know that league football is totally different from cup competitions, because you can be horrible in league, in your league games, and then be brilliant in those one-offs, you know, one-off games. But still, it's not like Real Madrid, you know, gives you the jitters. It's not like you look at Liverpool now and say, oh, you know.
Manchester City themselves, who haven't even won it, you know, it's not like you look at them and you think that, oh, they're going to do... You just feel that for all the big hitters, there's nobody that is stamping the authority, you know, on the competition. So I honestly think that this is a season that just about anything can happen. Let me bring the superstitious part of it now. Remember I told you 3 weeks ago, you know, about that prediction of the guy who got... Who has gotten... Now, whether that thing was photoshopped or not, I don't know. Mm. But if I want to believe that prophecy, you know, after somebody gets the correct Champions League winners for the last seven seasons, and the person says Napoli will win it this season, and I'm believing it because of what was going, what supposedly will happen
the following year.
Why I say Napoli would win it is
very quickly.
If you follow Luciano Spalletti's career trajectory, he has tried in football. He has actually tried. He's one of the best managers that are not rated.
But my friend Patsy will say, my friend Patsy will say, sometimes football finds a way to reward you.
Now he's on the other side of 60. At 60, he hasn't won the Serie A. Even though that, if you are calling, you know, some of the best managers of the past two decades, he's well in that mix.
He's in that conversation, but of course, you just need to go that extra mile. Just like Ranieri did in the 15-16 season.
It's crazy.
Guys, Chuma, very quickly before we go on to the phone lines, Liverpool against Real Madrid. Why should this be an easy fixture for Real Madrid?
Easy,
because this is not November when the draw was made, so I don't think it's going to be as easy as it should have been. They're now what
Liverpool have found a little bit.
I mean, their manager in his pressure was
a little bit of
pretty much, you know, like in case we know Bidemo, Mekuna, you know, that kind of thing. It was very, very
psychology will play a part, of course, because you know, you cannot keep.
You think he's not shouting at them and telling them, boys, we need to be very,
you know, because before that man who's looking very fresh by your side decides to send people to drive us out of the studio,
looking like NURTW.
I feel that it's going to be an easy ride for Real Madrid.
Okay.
Liverpool, surely, on that club, will try not to flop.
All right, let's take three calls and then we're done. 0700-993-993-993. I'm not going to reel out the lineup for you.
For calls.
Anthony will take you through that. We've got a break in a few minutes. So you're down to 20 seconds each when you call in. 01465-7190. Liverpool fans, are you confident? Real Madrid fans, what? I mean, you probably think you'll do seven things to Liverpool today. And of course, Napoli, Victor Osimhen, we're all shouting Napoli for the goals, right? Hi, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening, Samuel.
Hi there, Friday. You've got 20
seconds. Samuel, Liverpool will not be easy for Madrid.
Okay.
Madrid cannot just beat us three times in a row. It's not going to happen that they have a hat-trick of victory over Liverpool. This is something. Okay. We are Liverpool. We don't walk alone in Anfield.
You are saying it as a protest.
See, we are going to go down Madrid this night. I don't care how many score like, but we win Madrid.
All right, Friday. Thank you so much for calling. I like that energy. Hi, good evening to you. This is Game On. What's your name? Good evening. Hello?
Good evening, Samuel.
Hi, good evening. What's your name?
My name is Friday.
All right, talk to me very quickly.
The better team in England and the better team in Spain.
All right. Okay, then. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll take the last caller for now. The phone lines suddenly are going off the hook. Hi, good evening to you.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, good evening.
Godman, yeah.
All right, talk to me, Godman.
I think the game I just ended in a draw today. Liverpool and
Real Madrid.
Then we need to pray for our each man.
Victor Osimhen.
Victor Osimhen.
I didn't get injury.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Other news to add to you. Well, Elneny has extended his Arsenal contract by a further year. Leeds United have appointed ex-Watford boss Javi Garcia as the new head coach. And Dani Alves has been told to sit his bum in prison, or the court has asked him to stay further for sexual assault cases. Indeed.
This?
I mean, there's a case about Robinho as well.
Robinho is in jail.
Yeah, and all of
Robinho
that.
Robinho is in jail. Now, Ronaldinho was doing tiki-taka
these
with
Brazilians.
Them. These Brazilians. Then there was that clever son with dating a girl 15 years old in 2000.
Let me take three of your thoughts coming through on WhatsApp. So many messages. A woman will coach CR7. Even Ten Hag no go fit handle that kind of player. I beg. Make them not chase all women from job. This inclusion a strategy to replace men with women from their jobs. Okay. Good evening, guys. Mario from Bogada. Your message is lengthy, but
it's
I see
deep
it.
Now.
It's Emma Hayes has my respect. If she tries it, it will be very difficult. Then again, we'll see the male coaches and the female teams, and we have our very own Randy Waldrum doing wonders, he says. All right.
Doing wonders.
Yeah. Yeah.
In inverted
he said
commas.
Wonders, yes, in inverted commas.
Okay.
Sam, try read them. Okay, make a read them. Good evening, guys. I'm Mar- okay. Ogao format to Peace for Grass. He says,
the Peace for Grass,
they receive fresh air. This guy is off. This guy is off. You have your bloody rockets.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know the number of times I've heard that.
All right, guys, we got to go. Old format, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for dragging me out of my house.
David, we got to go.
DIDIBIGGS. Follow me. I just crossed 800.
All right, Chuma, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. So I got.
We are gonna
before the middle of this year, we're gonna be doing 1,000. Thank you very much.
Next with Tony the Voice and of course Adeze Michael. Stick around, the fun is only just getting started.